Isn't it hilarious that we find it hard to share our charger, our power bank, our clothes, even a plate of food with our siblings? Yet when we hear that they are being bullied or they are in trouble, we're the first to show up, or probably they're in the hospital, needs a kidney, needs a liver, needs a heart, or even blood. We are always the first to volunteer wholeheartedly. Funny, right? Even at this point, I find it uneasy to share my power bank or my charger with my siblings. Like, even if my gadgets are full to the brim and theirs is like 2% or 10% or even like off, my body will be doing me as if it's that time that they are using it that it will spoil. But let me hear that somebody said something or probably did something wrong to my siblings. Like, you see me coming out like the Lion of Tribe of Judah, defender of the hopeless, to come and defend them. Ironical, right? Now, this brings us to today's topic, sibling rivalry. Now, all of us, we've experienced this or still experiencing. And of course, we still partake from the other side, watching our kids go through that phase as we guide them with discernment. Now, sibling rivalry is the jealousy, the fighting, the competition between siblings, whether they are blood related or not. Now, it starts through various reasons, and it most times lasts through from the childhood to adulthood. But the highest level is mostly during the transition of teenage age to adulthood. Now, competition between siblings can be good if and when the parents are on guard to monitor the children physically and spiritually. You know, there are competition among siblings when they are striving to do better, striving to, you know, when you see your brother, oh, my brother is really good at this area of life, and like, okay, what do I do to also be better? You know, it's more like helps to stretch their limits, helps to help them expand their horizon, helps them not to be comfortable with status quo. However, there are the unhealthy ones, which breeds animosity and hatred and can drive the children apart over the years, which is why you'll be careful to notice that a certain percentage of adults describe their relationship with their siblings to be distant, both in communication and in closeness, or sometimes even rivalrous. I know you know what I'm trying to say, you know, which tends to lessen the older they get. Because try to think about it, and I also try to think about it, I don't think I've ever seen a 70-year-old, 80-year-old siblings, you know, still fighting over petty things. They're more concerned about what impact they've done, how they've lived their life and all. Now, like I mentioned earlier in a previous episode, I grew up amongst boys. You know, I prayed to be a boy. However, at some point, as a child, there was a point when I tried to give it a shot, you know, to accepting my gender. But at the price that my mom will have to give back to a girl, so that I won't be the only one saddled with the errands and responsibilities. So one day, I had accompanied my parents to the hospital, you know, before delivery. My parents didn't do a gender reveal and all that. But my brother, if I remember correctly, my brother wasn't breathing. Either he wasn't breathing properly, or he wasn't lying properly in the womb or something. There was something that happened, and we had to go to do a scan and to check what's up with the baby, right? So I met one of the nurses, and I gave her my biscuit money, and I told her that I wanted a girl, like at all costs. Now, guys, it's funny, but if it's funny thinking about it, but I was barely 10 years old, or a little over 10 years, and I had seen it in movies. I had seen it done in movies, you know, the baby swap and all that. And the nurse took my money in acceptance that she would do what I wanted. I mean, I had paid her,
you know? And the shock on my face, the shock and the anger I felt that I was stuck at being the only girl, plus the nurse owed me money. Like, my money had gone. All tryouts to get my money. Like, I tried all ways. I tried to probably go to the hospital again to get my money back. Failed. My 10 naira went like that. And now, as I remember correctly, that was, if I'm being honest, I believe that was the beginning of my drama with my brothers. Now, prior to the birth of my last baby brother, I and my brothers, we played like boys, literally beat it together. You know, I felt probably if I get good at this, you know, it will give me an edge to the gender switch prey. I mean, if God saw that I was getting a really good hang at being a boy, he could have mercy and grant me my desires. But my grandmother came for Omugwo. And if you don't know what Omugwo is, it's that time when after delivery, the mother of the woman comes to the house to help her, guide her through the phase of postpartum, right? Yes, like after delivery, you know, foods to eat, foods to avoid, how to heal and all that. Now, she was beyond shocked to see that I and my brothers were doing race on who would undress first and jump into the bathroom. There and then, she asked me to jump out the same way I had jumped in. And she was like, that my parents needed to prevent me from bathing together with my siblings, that I am a girl and I need to start on time, to start acting and behaving like a girl, you know. Now, I felt that probably after Omugwo, things will go back to being the same. I mean, she was not staying for the rest of our lives. But guys, the seed had already been sown and had started sprouting, that by the time she left, I started to feel somewhat, okay, I'm actually different from them, you know, genetically and otherwise. Now, one of the causes, or as I like to call it, activating trigger of sibling rivalry in our society today, especially in Nigeria, Africa, is choice of words and comparison. You know, can't you see how good your brother is doing in school? Both academically and extracurricular activities. Can't you see how this person is doing? And the worst in the case by seeing this in front of the sibling they are comparing you to, worst case scenario, comparing an elder one to the junior one. Sometimes they extend it to comparing you to a neighbor's child based on what they see, what they think, or what the parents tend to tell the whole world that is going on in their lives. Now, a little backstory. So one time, I think that was in my second year in the university. I was supposed to come back home for something, but I decided to stay back and come back the next day and just join them wherever I meet them back to the village. Now, I came back, my mom was like, why would I come back by this time when she had told me to come back the previous day? My dad was fuming in anger and all that. And then she said, like, if it is this person's child, I've seen her. She takes care of her father's business, because apparently the girl's dad had a fuel station. So she comes back like most weekends to come help her stay at the fuel station to help and calculate, like do a weekly audit and all that. But in my mind, I knew who this girl was, and I knew that that was not the reason she was coming back. She was not coming back to help her parents. She was actually coming back to be getting money to be giving her boyfriend, who she was squatting in school. Now, I'm not judging her, but this is like to show that my parents have been comparing me to someone that, I mean, in normal circumstances, placing it on the way of balance, I was actually better than, because I'm not taking my dad's money to give to anybody or to sponsor someone through school. But she was doing that, and her parents were feeling like, okay, she was actually coming back because of them, but she was doing it. How she was able to get behind the auditing and all that was what I still do not know. But long story short, by the time the parents found out, they were like already in debt, and that was the last I heard about them. Now, the second one is plain favoritism. Now, my parents are not perfect. In fact, they are flawed, like beyond flawed. But I believe that all that they do is to make life a tad bit easier for I and my siblings. But sometimes, there are times that I'm like, what is going on? I'm the first child amongst four brothers, but I figured out as years passed that somehow my parents wished my immediate brother came first before me. Yes, I'm not perfect. Like, I was a thorn growing up. I was a thorn in their flesh growing up, like trying so hard to love myself as the gender I am. Hence, I was rebellious. I craved attention. Like, even the little they gave me was nothing. I wanted more. And you know, when sibling rivalry starts, when after the first child, you have the second one, and then you don't tend to balance the attention you were given the first child before the second one came. This first child tends to see this, the new baby, even though his blood, as a competitor, you know. Now, I was saddled with a lot of responsibilities, you know, looking after my brothers, but because I didn't know any better, and because no one noticed the switch in my attitude and personality, I saw those responsibilities as wickedness. Like, why ask me to wash everybody's socks when they could wash theirs? And when I speak up, I am being asked, don't you know you're a girl? In my head, I'm like, God, should be a sin that this gender you gave me is full of unnecessary responsibility and slavery for the benefit of Omowoke, you know, benefit of the guys. Now, I know it's hard not to play to have favorites amongst siblings, but it's better not to show it in a constant display to the other ones, because it tends to erupt a lot of things that you will be shocked that your children would do. So one day, in a bid to show my parents that their golden boy was not so golden after all, I stole. So we're supposed to pay for something in school. My dad was like, okay, I should not bother that. I should tell the principal that my mom was going to come the next day or before the week ran out to pay for it. And they knew my parents. So while I was still conversing with my dad in his room, he was in the bathroom. I think she was in the kitchen or something. So, like, we're still trying to say, okay, give me the money, people are paying. No, your mom will pay it within the week. And, like, the thought entered my head. I remember that day vividly. The thought entered my head, and I literally grabbed the first money I saw on his headbed, and I dashed out to join the school bus. So I bought egg roll, I bought one sachet zobo. I mean, if you went to Living Ward 234 Abowe Road, which was transferred to MCC, you would know, like, we had a way of eating those two. Quite yucky, if you ask me. Now, would eat the egg, you know, create more space, pour the zobo inside and eat it up. Ew. So I also bought for myself, and I bought for my brother, and I bought granola for him. But because I knew he would always remain to take home so that he would eat it while we're waiting for the next meal, because I knew my brother, I cleaned up my own. Like, there was literally no trace. We came back home. When my mom was trying to clean up our bags and all, she saw the granola things, and she was like, what's going on? Who gave you granola? My brother said it was me. I'm like, it's not me. You don't know what you're saying. And I also left, like, I made it because I knew who he was. It was so easy to play the innocent card for myself. So my mom asked me said that my brother had said it was me that gave him the things that he was eating. I'm like, it is not me. Check my bag. There's nothing there. So the next day, my mom came to school. She didn't tell us. Like, she, like, passed it off that day and gave us food, you know, acted like nothing happened. The next day, she came to the school canteen. Now, to ask the woman if I or my brother showed up at the canteen, and because it happened midweek, it was what gave me away. Now, we were only giving money for snacks only on Fridays. Other days, we came with food. Now, the woman confirmed that it was me that came and see what I bought. Now, she even added that she was shocked to see me that day, knowing our food schedule. Oh God, my mom flogged the living daylight out of me. Like, she flogged me. Dad came back from work and gave me his share. But the thing is, nobody asked me why I did what I did. Nobody I'm not saying that what I did was right. Like, heaven knows I would flog the living daylight also out of my own kid if I found out that they were stealing from me or something. But you know, when something has not happened before and then it starts happening, you should pay like proper attention to the child to find out what was going on, you know. Now, nobody asks, nobody tends to make the next step, you know, extra step to find out what was actually going on with me, because I knew I was changing, I knew I was switching. That was not the only thing that switched in me. Like, you get to know that later. My personality had changed, I became more angry and irritating. I knew I was changing, but I couldn't help it. And I felt probably if they noticed something was going on, they will find, probably like someone will find a way. If someone noticed that I wasn't who I was, no, things would be much better. But no one found out. No, they were busy on giving me the label marks, if you know Nigerian parents, and shouting, Amarachi, like, Amarachi, is this stealing you're trying to, is it robbery you're trying to learn like this? And probably the length of the rivalry would have been shorter if I got the type of attention I craved for. But that stunt was only just the beginning. And I would like to leave us with these two verses. Galatians chapter 5 verse 26, the TPT version. And it says, so may we never be arrogant or look down on another, for each of us is an original. We must forsake all jealousy that diminishes the value of others. Now, the New Living Translation says, let us not become conceited or provoke one another or become jealous of another. Now, these two verses, you can obviously see the similarity. Now, the Message Translation, right? Yes, the Message Translation says that means we would not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. And I would like to leave us with this. It's good, and because I mentioned it earlier, it's good to have a discernment spirit. You know, it's good to ask God for discernment spirit, because sibling rivalry is inevitable. It is inevitable. No matter how good you train a child, you train your children, it is inevitable. There is always somewhat of somebody feeling like, oh, I think I'm better than you. Oh, I think I'm this. Oh, I think I'm that. You know, self-esteem, unnecessary arrogance sprouting in children and all. And if you guide your siblings to know, you guide your children to know that you are an original. You are unique the way you are. The way you are, your brother can never be like this. Your sister can never be like this, because they have their own part to play. It goes a really, really long way. Now, the second one is 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. And it says, the one who says he is in the light, in consistent fellowship with Christ, and yet habitually hates and works against his brother, is in the darkness. Now, the one who loves and unselfishly seeks the best for his believing brother lives in the light, and in him there is no occasion for stumbling or offense. He does not hurt the cause of Christ or lead others to sin. Because the minute you start envying your brother, they'll probably find a way. You know how they used to say in Igbo, they say, like something makes something to happen. For every action, there is an opposite and equal reaction. I think that's in chemistry. Now, every action that happens between siblings, every attitude comes with a reaction from the siblings. You know, there is always this something to counter it. And guys, we'll have to stop here. We'll continue this particular topic in the next episode. And don't forget to join the Godly Scriptures community and engage in other expressions on our dear beloved and DD Scripture Wednesday. And don't forget, you can also send me a DM on any of my social media handles, my email, or through the voice message button on the podcast platform. Signing out, it's your favorite girl, DD, your favorite podcast girl, I think that's how I'm going to start signing out. Till next Wednesday, guys. I love you. Take care of yourself. Stay safe. And wash your hands. Bye.